You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. How the heck are you? Hour two of Miller and Moulton on this very special day. It's kind of like an episode of Blossom on Tuesday nights on NBC back in the day. One of the great sports days of the year. The beginning of the NCAA tournament. In fact, opening days. Focus of our poll question today. Over the next few Thursdays, we have three openers. Today, the beginning of the NCAA tournament. You know, the full field. Not the warm bread that's Dayton. That's on the table when you get there. All right. A week from today, opening day of the Major League Baseball season in the States. All 30 teams in action. We know the Dodgers and Padres are playing in Korea right now. Don't know what to tell you. That doesn't count. I mean, if you're coming back and you're playing more spring training games, okay? When spring training officially ends, the next game, that's opening day. And 3 weeks today, the Masters. So there you go. Which is it for you?
Rank them, David. I mean, for me, it's the tournament, the Masters, and baseball is a distant third.
Yeah, for me, the tournament has overtaken Major League Baseball. I would say for most, the first half of my life, Major League Baseball opening day was number one of the three. The Masters is third, to be honest, of the opening days, to be honest.
Well, I wouldn't want you to lie to me. I mean, you haven't done it, really. You've been honest for a while.
Just trying to give the impression that, you know, no, it's cool. It's fun. You know, hey, the golf course again. Hey, look at that. It's green. Hey, we got the fake bird sounds. How about that? All right. But yeah, it's okay. I mean, the weekend is, you know, like I enjoy the beginning of March Madness more than the middle, even.
Yeah, these 4 days are the best 4 days to me.
So the madness has overtaken Major League Baseball for me.
All three of these choices, by the way, though, they all kind of have their own cult following where people will – there are people in each camp that will die on the hill for that event, which I think is awesome.
I mean, we talk about today's play hooky day in the afternoon. You only go in, get a really good half day of work in, and then figure out a way to take a little bit later lunch and then just not get back to the office. Oh, man, my kid called. I got to go to school. Okay, yeah, fever. Okay, you got to go pick them up. I mean, whatever excuse you got to come up with. Okay, today's the day to do it.
Did you know that today is the number one day for men's procedures, if you know what I'm talking about? Like the because you get work off for free if you get – this is a real thing, I'm telling you. Men in their 30s.
Men's procedures.
Well, I don't know what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say, but it's a thing. It's a real thing. I read all about it last year. I was fascinated. Look it up.
Where did you read it? Men's Journal? I mean, no.
He reads the articles, apparently.
Apparently, right. And by the way, you said men in their 30s.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No. Usually men have to get a little older than that to start having, as you would put it,
procedures.
Okay. I'm basing it off a couple people I know. That's all.
I'm very curious what procedure this is. Is this National Vasectomy Day?
That's what it is, yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah, okay, I just didn't know. I'm not used to, you know, the FCC and that sort of thing. I don't want to get Miller Moulton in any hot water here on the best day of the year.
Listen.
No, you start talking about cutting them off and saying what it is. That can get you in trouble.
Okay, yes. Right. It's Vasectomy Day.
So today's National Vasectomy Day?
I did not know any of this until last year, and I read all about it, and it was fascinating.
By the way, here's a quick rule of thumb, and this might not be foolproof, but if the word is on a billboard driving up and down I-75, I think you can say it on the air.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to bring that up because David's talking about Play Hooky Day, and it actually turns out there's statistical research to back up that it's also the most popular vasectomy day.
I mean, I have to admit, going north on I-75, I used to love it. That guy, he would do the series of billboards right around where you got the Charlotte County, and just, you know, for about a 3-mile stretch, he would do like 5 billboards in a row. And I'd find, you know, I'd notice the first one, and I go, "Huh, must be in Charlotte County." So, okay. Well, this, hell, Mark, maybe we should have included it in the poll question.
So, apparently, what event do you like more? Opening day of baseball, first day of the NCAA tournament, round one of the Masters, or vasectomy day?
Right.
For the record, first day of the tournament, getting over half the vote right now, round one of the Masters in second. Baseball right where it should be, bringing up the rear.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know what? And when your Tigers are contending past Labor Day this year, all right, you're going to change your tune.
David, I am more than likely going to buy the MLB package this year.
See?
So it's not that I'm anti-baseball, but in these three events, it's to me a distant third, and the voters currently agree with me. That's all.
And to me, it's a solid second. The tournament has overtaken it in my life. First half of my life, opening day baseball, I was just jacked. Just jacked.
You used to go to a sports bar to watch opening day. When's the last time you've done that?
Recently. Recently.
Last 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm into it. Plus, also, my team's going to win opening day. I'm a Mets fan. So one day a year, Mark, I know we're going to win. Doesn't matter who's pitching. Tom Seaver, Tyler McGill. Doesn't matter. We win. It's strange. For a franchise that's below 500, their winning percentage on opening day is stunning. Especially since they, like, lost their first 8, I think. Hey, did you see the Marlins promotion that they unveiled yesterday?
I did.
Did they confer with you and you just didn't tell me? Because this sounds like an idea Miller and Moulton would have come up with.
We have come up with it.
Right. The Marlins, in case you missed it, are selling all-you-can-eat seats starting at $52.
Non-alcoholic beverages, so it doesn't include booze. You get water, cookies, peanuts, popcorn, hot dogs, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, nachos with cheese, and non-alcoholic beverages.
So think about it. You get every beverage that's not alcohol. You get the little stuff, cookies, peanuts, popcorn. And then hot dogs, chili dogs, nachos, cheeseburgers. Through the seventh inning.
4 items per trip. That, right. That to me is key.
Well, you got to make many trips.
No. I mean, 4 items. Can't get much more in your hands than that. That's right. That's 2 dogs and a soda and a peanut.
Well, I mean, first off, if you're going to waste your $52 on peanuts, that's on you. Okay.
Wait, whoa. It's a ball game.
Well, okay. Maybe the very first. And by the way, how early can I get here? When does this start? That's what I want to know. I know when it ends, which is through the seventh inning. When does it start? Does it start as soon as the gates open? Because if that's the case, I got 4 hours. I got at least 3.5. I got 90 minutes before first pitch, and through the seventh inning, that's 2 hours. 3.5 hours for $52. Do you know how many chili dogs I can eat 3.5 hours? Trent, what do you think the over-under is on how many chili dogs I'd eat in 3.5 hours?
6.5.
I was going 7.5.
What?
What, you think it's more or less?
More? I've put my over-under at 16.5.
I have video of David taking down over 10 hot dogs in 2 minutes.
And okay. That's after I had just had lunch. I literally had 2 double cheeseburgers and an order of fries.
I guess the key is the chili dog. I thought there would be, you know, there's a little bit more to it. So
right, I
lowballed it a little bit.
I don't think I could do more than 4 dogs anymore. So I don't know if this is for me.
I want to buy season tickets for the all-you-can-eat seats.
And, David, along with that, we can get you season tickets in the Clippers exclusive little lower bowl club.
It's not all you can eat. He's not interested.
I'm just all the season ticket gimmicks. We want David doing all of it.
$52. Listen, in college, we ruined a promotion that a local hotel had. Okay, they had a little happy hour thing weekdays 5 to 7. And us college students literally ended it because in a month we went and crushed it every night. And they couldn't do a thing. We played by their rules. And we just ate them out of house and home. And they've got rid of it after a month. I mean, come on. If 5,000 Moultons show up for this thing, how long does this sucker last? Mark, okay. Honestly, 6.5. Trent, obviously, you don't know me very well. Mark, what do you think? Remember, I paid the money. I'm there for batting practice, or I'm in there an hour before the game. I got 3 hours.
Dog an inning, 2 in pregame. I think you do 9-10 dogs.
Easy.
It really just depends on whether or not you went dogs and cheeseburgers.
Well, I mean, I'd want to mix it up a little bit.
What you're saying is you're not interested in any of the cookies, peanuts, or popcorn. You're just going with the big items.
No. We're eating hot dogs, cheeseburgers. Maybe. Home half of the 7th inning, I'll use the nachos and cheese as dessert.
By the way, yesterday I went to the Tigers spring training game. Only thing I got was a bag of peanuts.
If you had paid $52 for all you can eat, what would you have eaten?
Well, I
Trent would exactly. never get the.
I wouldn't do the promotion.
You've seen him.
Yeah,
I eat more than he weighs.
I know, and I will at this game eat more than Trent weighs.
So I'm not the guy to ask for this type of thing. I do think it's a heck of a bargain the way you guys are laying it out.
Well, for me, it would be. I mean, they'd lose money on me.
Oh, there's no doubt. And so much so that I want to go to a Marlins game with you this year just to do the all-you-can-eat.
I mean, remember, included in the $52 is the seat, is getting into the game. Now, if they threw parking in, honestly, I'd quit the job and I'd move. I'd spend the rest of my days, okay, being a Marlins season ticket holder.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour, Shane McNichol. As we get on the Shane train in a little more than 15 minutes to talk the madness. We'll talk some NFL, top of the hour, Chad Forbes. We're going to try to do, you know, it's the draft's 5 weeks today. So we're going to try to just get on a steady basis, dive into the draft. Why are you smiling?
Because you introduced our guests coming up, and Shane McNichol there on the Shane train. You are so jealous of his Twitter handle. Anytime someone has a creative Twitter handle, David Moulton, for whatever reason, thinks the key to a then Twitter handle, now an X handle, is creativity. For whatever reason, the David Moulton isn't good enough.
No. And when I was forced to go on then Twitter and I did not have any creativity during that moment in time, because, I mean, think about it, Moulton, lava. I mean, I
right. tried. Right. And to how would they find you?
Well, but in theory, Lava Man. You know, something like that.
You can't give yourself your own nickname.
Well, why not?
It doesn't work that way.
Well, but the problem was then also, I think our then producer, John Cassio, gave me my now X handle. You know, you're that Mark Miller. I'm the David Moulton. Well, first off, that bothered me because I hate when Ohio State goes, the Ohio State. Oh, stop it. No offense. You don't win enough national championships to be the Ohio State University. All right. Great school. Okay. But enough with the V.
So you could have done the David Moulton had you already won the Emmy. Now it works.
Maybe now with two Emmys, okay. But even still, it's obnoxious. It's pretentious. I mean, people say, what's your, Twitter handle? And I literally
Who says that? Whoever, how many times in your life have you, what's your Twitter handle? Well, has that been asked of you?
It was just asked of me the other day, actually. I was in a meeting because, Mark, once again, what don't I carry with me? Business cards.
Yeah, I know. Okay. They're in my desk.
Exactly. You have all of my business cards. Exactly.
Had them made for you. They're really nice.
I know.
And they have an email address. They have an email address on them that you don't use either, that you insisted that we get email addresses. I get the email addresses. David couldn't find it with a subpoena.
I may have gotten an email saying I've won millions of dollars. I can't claim it. Why? I can't, log on to my own email. No. So anyway, I wish I had that one over again. The David Moulton. Whatever.
That's our poll question on Twitter. Head on over and vote at that Mark Miller and at Lava Man. Check it out.
Something like that. So that's why, yes, Shane McNichol. What's his X handle? On the Shane Train. Love it. I do. I love it. So you're right. You got me. I'm jealous. I am. So we, by the way, will make our picks during next hour, about an hour from now, actually. We'll start making our picks. And then what we're going to do for those in the 239, our Diamond District bonus hour. By the way, Carl Semesco on the show in the bonus hour tomorrow. They're flying to Bloomington, Indiana today, getting ready for their 5-12 matchup with Oklahoma Saturday afternoon. We'll have them on tomorrow morning. We'll do a consensus bracket in our bonus hour today. So, all three of us, we vote on a game, and it's okay if we don't agree. We'll just go with the majority for every game.
Which is good luck for you guys, or a good thing for you guys, because I probably have some ridiculous picks.
Oh, no. This is going to be the most painful hour of my life.
No, it won't, because this is
going
to
be. I can see it now.
No.
Arizona, Long Beach State. I'm going to say Arizona. You two are going to be Long Beach State.
No.
Give me the 15.
No, this is the most chalk bracket I've ever filled out in my life.
Although,
no, Mark.
3 years in a row, a 15 has beaten a 2, and not only that, they've gone to the Sweet 16. Three tournaments in a row.
I know. What are the odds it'll be 4? Considering up until 3 years ago, how many 15s had won a game? Like 9 total. So,
Dunk City.
Yeah, when they did it, they were like the 7th or 8th 15 to even win a game 11 years ago. 11 years, by the way. Calendar matches up perfectly.
I almost took a double-digit seed to get to the Sweet 16.
And that is bold for Mark Miller. Is bold.
I sat there and looked at Drake and Iowa State for a minute and said, do I take Drake beating Iowa State? Would be huge for Drake.
And we've been on the Drake train for a while. In fact, I thought Drake could easily go to the Sweet 16, but boy, Iowa State's a bad draw.
They really are, and the coach's kid's a nice player, but they are going to smother him defensively, and I don't think he's good enough on his own to create shots.
That's going to be a rock fight, by the way. That game won't get to 110. That'll be a tough watch.
There's a lot of that in this tournament.
Could be. So anyway, so Shane McNichol coming up in 10 minutes. We're riding the Shane train. Then we'll do a little NFL draft so you can all get your fix. This talking other sports besides football. We know how that drives you crazy. But then we are going to fill out some brackets. Tough. Deal with it.
But right now, it's time for our Molly Maid Play of the Day, brought to you by Molly Maid. Give your spouse the gift of a clean house. Trent, what do you have for us?
First tournament appearance, first tournament win for the Grambling State Tigers last night, taking on Montana State in Dayton in the first four. Not great for us, because we obviously were on Montana State with our picks, but nonetheless, game goes to overtime, and here was a big putback that kind of sealed the deal.
Moulton against one of the premier defenders in the country, off balance.
Oh! Missed it! Oh! Missed on a stick back!
The big fella! in overtime, puts the Tigers up 4 with under a minute. And they'll keep on dancing. They will take on Purdue for a chance to maybe hand them a second straight loss to a 16.
Stop it. It's Seth Davis over there. Game ends. Oh, I'm telling you, they're really going to give him a game. Jay Wright looked at him and basically said, shut up.
They're going to get run off the floor by Purdue.
They are.
But that game is tomorrow at 7:25 for those who want to watch the waxing take place live.
Look at him channeling his inner Bill Raftery. Man, is he feeling it.
239-774-5839. That's the number for Molly Maid. Let me give it to you again. 239-774-5839. Call Molly Maid today. Set up your appointment to get your house cleaned the right way by the good folks at Molly Maid. Tell them Miller and Moulton sent you.
By the way, Drake, a 10 seed. That's why Mark meant that I nearly took a double-digit seed to go to the Sweet 16. He has Drake winning the 7-10 first-round game. And then debated long and hard whether to beat Iowa State. Put it this way. I'll give you the other three twos. Would you have taken Drake? Arizona?
No.
Tennessee?
Yes.
Marquette?
Yes.
Okay, so they got the bad draw for you is what you're saying.
Iowa State
could have been a one seed.
Smothering defense, and Drake's, to me, not athletic. Their best player is not athletic enough to get open in that game. I think Drake can beat Washington State. That's going to be a tough game in and of itself because Washington State's a good team.
They are.
They may not get past that game, but if they do, I don't see them getting past Iowa State.
And because of a lot of the chaos that happened with the bracket and a lot of people's dissatisfaction with the bracket, it kind of got buried, but Iowa State definitely could have been a one, and the fact that they got put in the region with the top one seed, right?
Yeah. The fact they're in UConn's region as a two is a joke.
Exactly.
Well, and I think Kentucky's the best three, but I think Illinois is right there. And Auburn's the four that everybody's most impressed with. I mean, that is a real, for Connecticut, it's a really difficult bracket.
Here's where the committee not counting the conference tournaments, and they don't. They count it for NC State. If you win it, we got to put you in.
Duquesne.
But clearly, they didn't reward Iowa State for winning the Big 12 tournament, and they kept them behind Arizona and Tennessee. And they shouldn't have. I think the committee also, Marquette's the worst two, but they didn't want to put two teams from the same conference, one and two. Shane McNichol on the Shane Train next.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes before the hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com. Miller_Moulton on X. He's Shane McNichol. Covers college basketball and golf for the Action Network and PalestraBack.com. PalestraBack.com. Follow Shane on one of the 10 best X handles of all time on the Shane Train. On the Shane Train. Shane, it's David and Mark. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Of course. Best weekend of the year, guys. Happy to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, then answer our poll question. Okay, we're, the whole theme about opening days. NCAA tournament, Major League Baseball, the Masters. What's your favorite opening day?
I mean, I'm a basketball guy. March Madness is everything for me, so I have to go with that. I do love the Masters, but I do think Sunday at the Masters has a lot more juice than Thursday, whereas today is really the biggest and best day of March Madness.
With you there, the tournament reigns supreme to all of us on this show as far as how the poll question's going, and that's why it's winning. All right, the first four, the big boys, the 16 games are pretty exciting. A little bit of rock fights in the other games. When you look at today, what game jumps off the table at you is a must-see game for Thursday?
Today, I actually think there's something fun to be seen in that Creighton versus Akron game. I think John Gross is a really great tournament coach. His last six games, the teams are undefeated against the spread, at least, in the NCAA tournament. And that Creighton team plays a really fun brand of basketball that's really predicated on three-point shots, getting jump shooters out in motion and really creating things offensively. But relying on the jump shot leaves them vulnerable. If they have a cold day, that leaves potential for an upset. And I think John Gross knows that, and he's going to turn that game into a rock fight as best he can. And his best player, Enrique Freeman, is the national leader in rebounds. And Creighton has Ryan Kalkbrenner in the middle. They're big rim-protecting center. I think that battle is going to be really actually very interesting compared to a 3 versus 14 matchup. Some of the other ones that I think would catch your eye, I think, unfortunately, the last game of the day, that Drake versus Washington State game, could be one of the best ones in the first round. Nevada and Dayton, I mean, you can go down the list.
Well, 14s, 15s, and even 16s have had a lot more success here in recent years than they ever had before. I mean, what, 3 straight years of 15s, not only one, but have they also gone to the Sweet 16 in each of the last 3 years? So I'm just curious, you know, you mentioned a 3-14 matchup there, Creighton-Akron. Is there another 14, 15, or even 16 that you go, you know?
Yeah, Akron's the one that stands out a little bit. Colgate against Baylor could get interesting. Colgate's been in the tournament 4 years out of the last 4 years that there's been a tournament. And they've had their chances, and I think this is the worst of the 5 Colgate teams that has made it this far. So that certainly doesn't mean they can't win today, but I think that gives them a little tougher time. If you're looking at a 16, I think there's a crazy world where Longwood and Houston is kind of interesting for the first half. You know, Houston plays slowly, and that's kind of been the problem with both Purdue and Virginia, who lost the 16 seeds. It kind of opens the door for a high-variance game. The problem is Longwood, not a shooting team, and even worse, a team that turns the ball over, and Houston will smell blood and eventually just have force way too many turnovers going the other way. The last one I would point out is I personally think Kentucky is maybe the most talented team in this tournament, or a team that I think can go very far in this tournament if they kind of get out of their own way. Tough to get out of your own way against a team like Oakland, super experienced coach in Greg Campy. They play a zone, which is dangerous because Kentucky is the best three-point shooting team in this tournament and in the country. But if those three-pointers aren't falling and the zone is a little weird and those young Kentucky guards get a little confused, again, maybe we have a game. I'd be very surprised, but maybe there's a game there.
Shane, which number one seed is the most vulnerable to you?
I have my questions about North Carolina. I think they're a very good team. They are experienced. R.J. Davis and Armando Bacot are both fifth-year seniors. Cormac Ryan is a fifth-year senior. Harrison Ingram transferred over from Stanford as a veteran. The question for me is that last piece. Elliot Cadeau is a freshman point guard. He's not a shooter. He's a creator off the dribble. I worry a little bit if the team forces him to be the person that tries to beat them. If they make him into a shooter and a scorer and kind of don't help off anybody else, maybe there's a path there. I mean, Hubert Davis, an experienced coach in that he's been to a Final Four already, but only 2 or 3 years on the job here. I would think of the 4, they would be the one I would have the most question marks about.
He's Shane McNichol, covers college basketball and golf for the Action Network and PalestraBack.com. PalestraBack.com. Follow Shane on X on the Shane Train. Well, obviously, there's filling out the brackets and then there's betting on this sucker. And you do both and you cover both angles of it. Do you have, I don't know if it's a theory, but do you have tried and true rules from a betting standpoint on the tournament?
Yes and no. I think it's certainly a lot of games this week. There's 48 games this weekend. There are people out there who will put a bet on all 48 of them. For me, it's kind of keeping the same process as I would with a regular season game, keeping an eye on where that line should be compared to where it ends up. But then beyond that, I think I've a little bit with these games of, oh, a team is underseeded or overseeded, or, oh, I think that's going to be an upset, so I better bet on it. But that's not necessarily the same calculus as filling out your bracket and thinking, oh, this 12 seed's going to beat this 5. I'll put it in my bracket. There's nothing to lose there. If you're going to actually put the money on it, I think you got to do that extra layer of research and make sure it's a sound bet. And I think the last thing is keeping in mind that these are all neutral site games. all across the country, keeping an eye on which teams are traveling, where they're coming from, all of that stuff is much more of a layer than, you know, Michigan playing Michigan State in January. I think people forget that, especially when we now talk about Saturday and Sunday. Keeping an eye on which coaches are really good at that turnaround game, which teams are fresh and have the legs and all the things that go into that.
All right, looking at today, one of the games that David and I both really liked is the BYU-Duquesne game. Duquesne, we think, is way, you know, overseeded. They winning the A-10, they couldn't score in that game. We like BYU. The number's risen a lot. What are your thoughts on BYU and Duquesne?
Yeah, that was the first game that jumped off the board to me. It was the first one I bet on Sunday night. BYU is actually underseeded because of their religious affiliation. They will not play on a Sunday. They're the only school that the bracket has to deal with that. So they actually were seeded as a 5 seed and settled for a 6 because of that, because all the 5 seeds were playing in Friday-Sunday venues. So they had to be sent to a Thursday-Saturday, which meant they had to jump down all the way to a 6 seed. Then they get matched up against the Duquesne team, who, like you said, in that A-10 championship, could not score, was not doing much, and was kind of gifted an 11 seed. I don't even think this is a conspiracy theory. I think the bracket was completely done on Sunday afternoon, and they just put A-10 champion as that 11 seed, hoping VCU won. And when Duquesne won, they just slapped them in there, because there are certainly plenty of 12 seeds that not only are better teams than Duquesne, but had better resumes. I think you could have made a pretty good case Duquesne should have been a 13. Like I said, that's not necessarily a reason, you know, a 5 seed could lose to a 13 or 14 seed. That's not necessarily a reason to say that BYU is going to run away with it. But I think when you look at the matchup especially, Duquesne's going to try to make it into a rock fight, and BYU, more than half of their shots come from three. I just think that's going to be too much volume. Even if they shoot 25%, that might be 10 threes the way they put it up.
Yeah, we thought that this is a 4-13 game by seeding, quite frankly, and instead it's a 6-11. What does concern us is the fact that it opened at 7.5. We're with you. We jumped on it at 7.5, but now, you know, has it
nine
reached double figures?
No, not
okay,
yet.
It's still 9.5. So that's, we're just a little concerned that, you know, everybody else has jumped on it as well. Well, last year we had a 4, 2 5s and a 9. I mean, I know that's nuts, but you got someone that's, I don't know, 4 seed or higher that you're willing to take a flyer on?
Yeah, I think, as a child, I kind of fell in love with the Gonzaga Cinderella runs. They're getting a lot of heat for that matchup with McNeese. I don't necessarily see that. I'm not going to say they can't lose that game, but I think once they get beyond that game, you're talking about the winner of Kansas and Stanford, who Kansas is injured, their leading scorer's out. Stanford plays this kind of crazy, they call it buckyball, high-pressure offense or high-pressure defense. I'm not necessarily as worried about that game either. Then you're talking about Gonzaga and Purdue. If there's any team in the country that has the size to kind of bang around with Zach Edey, it might be Gonzaga. They have, 4 6-foot-10-plus guys that play regularly in the rotation. Now you're looking at the Elite Eight. So as I would say with any team seeded 4 or higher, they could lose today or tomorrow, or there's a run possible. But that Gonzaga team, Mark Few made 8 straight Sweet 16s for a reason. I'm not certainly going to bet against them in this weekend, and I'll wait to see until they have a little bit of a tougher competition.
What do you think about the Gators? Because Marquette's big, you know, the best player has been hurt. I know he's supposed to come back to the tournament, how healthy he is. Florida lost one of their big men in the SEC championship. The Gators match up with Colorado and then beyond for the Florida Gators.
Yeah, that Colorado team is so hard to nail down. Just so much talent from all kinds of, from the transfer portal, from freshmen, and just injuries, and just they don't necessarily gel, but they found a way to win last night. And teams that have won in the first four have been very successful then going to their next site and winning that next game. I still think Florida, the way that they play, that up-tempo, high-scoring, I think that's going to give them a real chance to put Colorado away pretty quickly. Marquette is a tough one because all of those games that they played without Tyler Kolek have been confusing. Like, that offense just doesn't look right without him. He reminds me so much of Steve Nash, the way he operates, so much usage, everything they run, whether he has the ball or he's a decoy, so much of it runs through him that even when they were winning games in the Big East tournament, they're kind of sneaking by, looking ugly, finding ways. if he's back and healthy, it's a really good team. I would think that they would be favored and likely to beat Florida, but I just don't trust it because I haven't seen it yet.
All right, we had a poll question earlier in the week. We can give you UConn, Houston, Purdue, or the field. Who would you take?
Of those, either Houston or Purdue. UConn is the best team in this tournament. I have no doubt about it. Like, filling out a bracket, I immediately put them right into the national championship as champions. But then the week kind of stares at you, and it's just there's a reason nobody's done this since Florida in the early aughts. Like, to win six single elimination games in a row, to get all of those whistles, the foul trouble, nobody sprains an ankle, rolls, God knows what other injuries, it just seems unlikely. There's a reason it doesn't happen. And so I would tell you, UConn is the best team in this tournament. There is a reason they are the top overall seed. They are talented. Danny Hurley can coach. On and on and on. It sounds crazy. I just don't know that they'll get that. Someone will get them. That's how March works. That's why we love it. Houston, I kind of talked about a little bit, mentioning them as Longwood giving them a little bit of a scare. The fact that they play slowly scares me. I think they play chaotically, which helps in that case. I mean, they're top three in the country in 14 turnovers, blocking shots, and creating steals, and offensive rebounds. Just on a game-to-game basis, they're going to take about 10 to 15 more shots than you. Doesn't mean you can't make more of your shots and beat them, but that level of volume over a larger sample size is going to work out. So I think Houston's pretty scary. And then Purdue, I mean, the last number one seed to lose to a 16 came back and won the national title last year. They did it by the hair on their chin, but you know, they needed some buzzer beaters and some craziness. I think the big thing for Purdue is Braden Smith, the point guard, hyperextended his knee in the Big Ten tournament. Is he 100%? And if not, is Purdue going to be liable like they were against Fairleigh Dickinson? Not necessarily against Grambling, but as this tournament goes on, are they going to be liable to pressure that prevents them from standing up and getting the ball into that team?
Shane McNichol, Action Network, Palestraback.com. Follow him on X at On the Shane Train. On the Shane Train. Shane, thanks for getting up for us. We appreciate it. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
And you too as well. Shane McNichol, the madness. It gets underway in a little more than 4 hours with Michigan State and Mississippi State.
Not big on the Gators at all, for what it's worth. Not picking UConn to win the whole thing, even though he said he wrote him down in the finals to win it, but then thinks it's too difficult to repeat.
I do think they got a very tough bracket. I mean, to think that they're going to have to play Auburn potentially and Iowa State. I mean, if you're into the metrics, I mean, those are two top six teams in the country that UConn's got to go through.
I like what he said about there's a reason it just doesn't happen. There's a reason there's no back-to-back champions.
Miller and Moulton, who's your Final Four? We'll get to ours coming up in a little while.